Welcome to Christ's Blessing. On this beautiful day of July, moving through summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, through winter in the South, and all seasons are wonderful. We give praise that they give us a chance to see our life in different lights and to see it in the context of our beautiful Mother Earth that is forever changing, evolving, growing, and blessing us with life. We open this blessing call with a great praise and thank you to the giver of this blessing, and that is Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. He is here with us now and forever is willing to be with us in our hearts. All we need to do is receive. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more today. We've been on a theme for the last few Sundays, and that theme is receiving. Would love to be in conversation with anyone who wants to come on the call. We would just love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, if you want to give feedback or praise to God over a prayer that's been answered or a blessing that's been received, we always love to hear from our congregation of friends who show up on Sunday to be together. And I do want to thank you for just being here, because you too are part of a blessing. Sometimes it takes a link, a whole link of people, in order to bring about goodness that needs to be happening in the world. There's an old saying that it takes a whole village to raise a child. And I think that's true. If you think about all the people that contribute to the life of a child, not just the mom or the dad, but then there's the brothers, the sisters, the extended family, grandma, grandpa that babysit, maybe an uncle or an aunt that fill in at times, provide an alternate home at times, the teachers, the doctors, the rescue people, the policeman that provides guidance across the street, all the people that work to create a safe environment. It takes a whole village to raise a child. Now, I would say that is Yeshua's perspective on you receiving a blessing. And he would say, it takes a whole village to convey my blessings and get all of the potential for blessing delivered so that you can receive the fullness of it. We're going to get back to that thought as we go into our message today. But first of all, I'm going to take a call from Scott. Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Good, good. Just counting my blessings. And which is said, reminded me of many of them, but also just very grateful today. I get to conduct a service at the little chapel I attend in town and play some music too. So that was a very good thing.
Wonderful.
I get to have the music thing.
And I'm sure they were blessed.
I hope so. That's it. I was just grateful for that, for sure.
It's always nice to hear from you, Scott. You're certainly a blessing to our community and to the world. And just keep doing what you're doing. It's all good, and it's bringing out the very best in you. And I see Chris is fine. Hi, Chris. Hi, there you go. Let's see. I'm having to double unmute today for some reason.
Now you got it. Yeah.
We got it.
All right, perfect. Hey, I would like to add somebody to the blessing today, and it's kind of along the lines of what you're talking about. She's going through a divorce. Her name is Sue, and just found out. And it's interesting that she's in quite a spiritual path, I guess you would call it. I just wonder sometimes if things have to be cleared away in order for us to receive more, because she feels like she's going through a period of loss. And I guess that's possible, but I would love to include her in the blessing that she be refilled and while she's going through this difficult time. So thank you.
That's right. That we certainly will. We hold her in our hearts now, and I've got her on my little blessing sheet here that I always tuck in my pocket when I stand to convey the blessing. Actually,
Thank you very much.
We don't offer the blessing. We convey the blessing. The blessing comes from Yeshua, from the Holy Spirit, from Heavenly Father, from the earth, and the whole host of angels that watch over us and guide the will and the love of God into our life. So, again, it takes a village to bring the blessings of God to us. And so we're going to talk more about the delivery of blessings is going to be our next theme when we have completed our current theme called the receiving of blessings. Maybe we'll finish this theme today. I hope so. But there's no statute of limitation on the time it takes to get truth delivered, to gain results in our life, and receive the love of God. There's just no limit on it. So the theme will change when it needs to change. But for now, our hearts are really needing to be directed toward the receiving of God's love, the receiving of His benevolence, all the goodness that's been provided for us, all the goodness that's around us. And yes, Chris, I think you hit upon an important aspect that limits our receiving. And that is that many times in the past, we received from people who were good people in our life, but our time to be with them was over. Our time to be with them had passed. Let's just use an example that's not negative, it's not toxic, it's just part of nature's work. We receive bountifully from our parents if we're blessed to have healthy, benevolent, loving parents. They give freely, almost unconditionally to us because that's how much they love their children. As we move through our teens, they start telling us, we need to get a job if we want that car or if we want that motorcycle or we want that extra something. They'll get out the want ads and slap them down on the table in front of us and say, here's a thought about getting a job. What they're pointing to is that as we grow up, we need to be receiving from other sources and not just them, because it was a joy for them to give to a little child. But as we get older, we need more. It costs more to support our life. We're supposed to find sources of support that extend beyond our parents. Now, some kids just don't want to do that. They want to keep hanging on to mom and dad. Mom and dad, I need this, I need this. And finally, mom and dad say, here is the key to a new apartment I rented for you. And we paid the first month's rent. And that's it, buddy. We'll see you at Christmas. Or some equivalent of that kind of statement. And all of a sudden, the kid goes, holy cow. And he sees that line that has been a source of nourishment for him is just trickling now, and it's all stopped, and pretty soon it's sucking up mud. Won't supply anything. Okay, we've had relationships with friends. We grew up. They were our best friends. We loved them. Love them dearly. They went to a different college. Maybe we didn't go to college. Maybe we got married or went into the military or the Peace Corps or decided to just get a job or travel and see the world. Whatever other decisions we made, we grew up on a different path. And then it's like we meet our friend and we've got nothing in common. There's nothing there. And then we try to force it and have an argument, or we try to get along, but there's nothing positive coming from it, and pretty soon we've even got bad feelings. So we just leave it, and it's like old plumbing that gets piled up with roots and mud. And there's just literally nothing there. And we wonder, well, gee. Now, you could carry that to the extreme on a divorce. All of a sudden, absolutely, there's not going to be coming anything through those lines. And yet, it was a line of support. And it's not just from the spouse that we are terminating a relationship with. It's all the friends we had in common. It's the realities we shared, the agreements we shared. And those are now broken agreements. And yet, we still love those friends. Why did those agreements break? Well, it's because people pull back. They're very uncertain about pouring their support into areas that are now becoming something else. It happens all the time, my friends. We had a job. Let's say we worked for a company, had great friends there. We moved on, got a job at a different company. And now our old friends don't even want to have lunch with us. Do they dislike us? No, they don't. It's just that there's this little word called priority. And when you work for the same company, it was like reinforcing the pleasurable side of working for that company to have lunch with your friends. And now you have new friends you want to have lunch with, and you just don't have time to have lunch with the old friends that moved on, unless maybe they turned out to be one of your best friends, and it's an exception. I get email every day from just a blessed and beloved person who took on the job of keeping my graduating classmates from high school connected. And that was 52 years ago that we graduated. That's a big job, especially considering how many obituaries that are being sent out now, if not for classmates, most definitely for the parents of our classmates that we also knew and loved because they were part of our extended family. So it's always something she's sending out, and God love her, she keeps us connected, and it feels so good. I just get God bumps sometimes when I think about how much I love these people. But you know what? If we showed up at the same cafe, we wouldn't have very much to talk about today, much less not much to give each other. And so when we try to draw on all of those old lines we've had, we could get some very disappointing feelings. And sometimes we even get the feeling like, well, what's wrong with me? What happened to my life? You know, I used to be supported and now I'm not. And we feel sorry for ourselves, or at the very least we feel depleted and tired. It's like, gee, all the things I used to love and now I don't get them anymore. How do I do this? Well, okay, first of all, here's what you need to do. You need to be grateful for what you got when you got it. And to know that all of life is a large kaleidoscope that keeps turning the wheel. And you'll never see the beautiful new picture if you keep remembering and only seeing the old one. The old one will gradually get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But your mental filtering system will keep you from seeing the new picture in the new kaleidoscope. We have to make new friends, and we have to do it without a sense of guilt or a sense of abandonment. It is just the way life moves on. We have to be also willing to let go of what we thought was an investment in the future. That's a big one. That's a really big one, my friends. You know, I had friends when I was in high school that I thought would be my lifelong friends. I thought that all the time I was spending with these lovely, loved, precious people would be an investment in my old age. It's not at all unlike parents can think that some of the investment they're making in their kids will be an investment in their retirement fund. It's just nature's way of planning for the future. It's not a bad thing to feel that or even to want it. But we have to realize that sometimes God has other plans for us. And these things we thought were going to be an investment in the future, sorry, they don't work. I had one of my most favorite, well, we weren't boyfriend, girlfriend, but he was a classmate. We were both honor students, and we were kind of like study twins. And we really, really liked each other and hoped to actually go to the same college. But he went into the military, went to Vietnam, and was killed 2 years later. You know, I really thought that, never thought we would have a romance. I thought he would marry somebody that I would like. I would marry somebody he would like, and we would be a couple of best friends for the rest of our life. Well, he lives on the Vietnam Wall now. And, you know, when I light a candle for that, I think about him. And he becomes a light in my heart for the prayers I pray for all of my other generation peers who lost their life in that war. And so I guess in a way, we are lifelong friends. You know, we can find the investment fulfilling itself in many, many ways. But we need to forgive the fact that some things we thought would last forever didn't. Then we need to learn to be grateful for the experiences we got from it that have forever enriched our life. The memories we always get to keep. And the memories we get to apply to new circumstances, new friendships, new opportunities. And we build a portfolio of experiences in life, achievements, accomplishments, people we've loved, things we've done that we love to do, and just the joy of having a life worth remembering. That's something to be so grateful for. Now, in present time, here's a good way of increasing our blessings and something we need to think about, and that's just the importance right now of being grateful for what we have. We actually have pretty much close to what we need. Now, I realize some of you out there may have lost a job, and you really do need income. I know recently we fell into a financial ditch, and I thought all this work I'm doing was about to come to an end. But thanks to the generosity of our community and our friends and supporters, we're back on the road to coming up again. And that can happen for any one of you. Let your needs be known. Be willing to ask. And it may require being humble. It may require risking embarrassment and risking someone else saying, well, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. And you say, well, okay, you were right. But I've got kids to take care of. I need some help. Remember, it takes a whole village to support you, not just to raise a kid, but to support you. There are people that are fitted for the help of each other. It may be a minister you want to go see. It may be someone who offers classes, community classes for free at a university. It may be some service organization that can help you up. Remember, there's a whole village out there, and the village is there to help you. You may need to ask. It can't find you, and don't expect it to read your mind. Now, this is where appreciation and love come in. So it starts with gratitude for what you have. Then it goes on to appreciation and love and a sense of human affiliation. You know, in the first century of Christianity, everybody, from the wealthiest to the poorest, everybody gave everything they had into a common Well, what do you got? I wouldn't say, I don't think they used the word kitty then. I keep thinking into the kitty. No, it was into a common reserve. And they had a treasurer. Now, this seems a little like communism, but it wasn't, because it wasn't enforced by a government. It wasn't patrolled by a government. It was distributed by the community, and it was maintained and stewarded by the community and forwarded into the needs of everyone. And they really demonstrated that they became a community that took care of each other. From that principle, Christianity became a stronger empire without any government other than God and Yeshua. In those days, it was Yeshua that they called him. God and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit distributed the benefits of that community. And within 300 years, they had become stronger than Rome. Rome was still persecuting them, but into the 4th century, Rome was getting to be afraid. It was afraid it was going to lose its whole middle class, because the whole middle class of Rome was looking to join Christianity. So it made a deal. It would stop persecuting Christians and make Christianity Rome's official religion. So that was all so that Rome wouldn't lose its middle class. Because its middle class was all it had left. It had a very corrupt government. No military to speak of, because they were all hired killers that had no allegiance to the empire. And the empire was broke, except for just the private coffers of the super rich. Does that remind you of anything today? What it had left was its middle class. And if it lost the middle class, it was gone. So, it made a very smart move. And of course, Christianity grew exponentially. But unfortunately, it took on kind of an official theology, and it lost its community strength and its community cohesion that was there for the first 300 to 400 years. And so that's, I'm just bringing all of these in because it's part of the receivership that Yeshua taught us. Now also, you notice that when he went out among the people, he sat with everybody. He sat with the poor people. He sat with the lepers. There was nobody too good for him to sit with him and talk to them. But he did not turn a poor man into a rich man. He gave a poor man hope. He gave him food. He gave him a fish and then teach him how to fish. He didn't turn him into a rich man. He didn't turn the crippled into an Olympic runner. He just said, by your faith, you can now walk. And the crippled walked. And he walked away and said, praise God. And we would assume and presume that through his faith and his prayers, the cripple would get better and better and better. Now, if you went to a desperately starving country where there were poor people who may not have eaten in days, you would not, I repeat, be allowed to give any one of them a beefsteak. It could actually kill them. What you would give them is very, very thin vegetable broth. And a little bit more, and a little bit more until you were giving them beef or chicken broth, but no meat. Then some solid food in the way of vegetables or a little rice. But no meat yet. Have you heard of the sudden wealth syndrome? Well, that's been studied frequently. Well, a lot, actually, especially since the lotteries became so important. But also with a younger generation that inherits mega wealth from their parents or their grandparents. Do you know that 85% of people who experience a sudden increase in wealth have their life made significantly worse. Not just a little worse, significantly. Sometimes to the point of committing suicide. Sometimes to the point of just becoming helplessly addicted. People who lose all integrity in their life, they become degenerated in terms of their coherence in life. We cannot suddenly become a great deal better than we are. Now, that's a very difficult proposition for some of us to realize when we find ourselves desperately needing so much more than we have. But the fact is, all you really need is the next step of improvement. And the next after that, and the next after that. What you really need is a continuous improvement in all areas of your life, every day of your life. And to do so by faith, by gratitude, with community support, with hope, with faith, and with love of God in your heart. That's all any of us need. You've heard about divers that lose their air, and they need to come up, but if they come up suddenly, they'll get the bends that will kill them. You cannot take in even the most benevolent of things too much, too quickly. It can literally kill you. So it's a toxic, wrongly purposed idea to become resentful that we didn't get all we thought we could get from a particular situation. What we get is exactly what we need for our next step. And most especially when we take the time to cleanse ourselves, to cleanse our mind of all resentment, to cleanse our heart of all fear and doubt, to cleanse our spirit of all absence of faith where it thought, oh, I'm just a loser, I'll never get anything. You lose faith in yourself. You lose faith in God. You lose faith in your fellow man. You've got to cure those things. That's the first thing you have to do, and that's your homework. Recover your faith in God, and recover your faith in your fellow human beings. Those are the two commandments of Yeshua. You know, you could look at those two commandments from several directions. He said to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your fellow man as yourself. You could also look at it this way. Allow God to love you with all your heart, mind, and soul. Allow your fellow man to love you as themselves. You see, sometimes we don't look at the fact that water can flow both ways, a knife cuts both ways, air blows both ways and in circles. What goes around comes around. And this is part of learning to receive. If you're having trouble loving God, think about what it would feel like for God to love you. Think about the last time you knew God loved you. You knew you got something, some blessing, out of the blue. It made a difference in your life, and nobody else could have known that you needed that. Remember a time when God loved you. Then remember a time when somebody else loved you. Somebody else loved you enough to show up for you. Somebody loved you enough to give you a smile or to help you load your groceries in the car when they didn't work there. They didn't have to do that. but they saw you needed a little help. Remember a time when somebody gave you some really good advice, and maybe you didn't take it because you thought, oh, gee, he's just an old geezer. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Think about all the times you may have turned away a blessing. You may have denied yourself the ability to be blessed in some way. Someone invited you to their home for dinner, and you thought, oh, gee, you know, we don't have anything in common. We're going to, I'm going to be bored the whole evening. You never know what else may be behind that situation. The fact is, somebody offered you something. Maybe the next step is for you to offer them something. And then back and forth it goes. Take a look at all the offerings you haven't been accepting. You haven't been receiving. Remember, Yeshua did not give the people that came to him a whole fish market. He gave them a fish because he knew they needed nourishment now. And then they needed hope to ask and seek for more. And then they needed a community that would support them and help them find more. Become the member in that kind of community. Become the supportive person in the life of others, and then allow them to support you. Now, we're going to offer a blessing today, and it will be a blessing that will contain all the love of God, the miraculous healing power of the Holy Spirit, and the gentle guiding companionship of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. We're going to start our blessing now. And I want you to be in that beautiful state of receiving and knowing that, yes, you're receiving from God. You're receiving from the Holy Spirit. You're receiving from the heart of Christ. But in all of that, there's also the Blessed Mother, there's your guardian angel, there are people in your life that love you, that want to see you doing better, that want to see you healthier and happier and more successful and just smiling more. There are people who would cry their hearts out if they lost you. You mean a lot to everybody. You are part of the whole that we are. You mean everything to somebody. You are a blessing to somebody. Now, let's be in that state of omnipresent receiving, where it can come from any direction. And what we're going to do through conveying this energy is we're going to send a beam of God's light down through you into the earth and then back through you to open up your channels of receiving. Then you're going to go rest, and you're going to assimilate these blessings into you, body, heart, and soul, into all that you are, and you're going to let them flow into your family, your community, your whole village, everyone who could be there for you. You're going to be there for them. And that's the way it works. So let us begin with a prayer to Yeshua. Oh, he reminded me, just when I started to connect to him, he reminded me, he said, Glenda, you didn't tell them about the blessing seminar that's going to be in October. He's going to be there in a very powerful way, and speaking of the village that supports you, come and meet your village. Come and meet the people who have been conveying these blessings for you, who love you, who show up every Sunday to be here flowing better and richer good and goodwill for your life. It will change your life, not only for receiving, but for giving and for knowing how to receive. and how the miracles of giving and receiving work. And so thank you, Yeshua, for reminding me about that. I was so intent upon flowing your blessings, I forgot that you've got a big one planned in October. Now let us begin today, and I ask the blessing givers to join me. Let us move into it right now. Yeshua, thank you for being here with us. The loving brother, the sacred son, conduit of the Holy Spirit, the one who walked upon the earth to teach us our fulfillment and our ultimate glory to be received through the Holy Spirit and through all that God planted in us from the very beginning, waiting to take life, waiting to open its leaves like a sprouting seed. May your light and your love pour upon us now, that all that is waiting to be born and come alive within us may take on more life, more fullness, and more abundance. We thank you always for being with us and bringing about our growth, our connection, our love, and our fulfillment in life. Amen. Your blessing has been conveyed. Now go and rest and receive into all parts of your body, heart, and being, and know that God loves you. And I look so forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.